DiscerningHearts.com presents Baptism, Born from Above, with Deacon James Keating. Deacon Keating is a professor of spiritual theology at Kenrick Lennon Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. He formerly served as the director of theological formation at the Institute for Priestly Formation. He is the author of numerous books, including Heart of the Diaconate, Remain in Me, Spousal Prayer, and Listening for Truth. He has given more than 400 workshops on moral theology and spirituality nationally and regularly conducts retreats. Baptism, Born from Above, with Deacon James Keating. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Baptism, the key sacrament of initiation, which brings us into that relationship with Christ, into the body of Christ. It is an essential moment, isn't it?
Well, again, the teaching of the church is so clear on this that baptism is essential, necessary for salvation. You can't say it any clearer than that, there's an urgency in our hearts to try to get as many people as possible baptized, open and receiving the coming of the Holy Spirit, which unites this person to Christ. This person is reborn of water and the Spirit, and so it's essential. I remember a story about Pope John Paul II, and they went through his whole list of accomplishments. You know, Pope and Cardinal and, you know, Vatican II, and all of his writings are just astounding. And they said, what is the most important achievement of your life? And he said, baptism. He says, the fact that I was baptized. Now, all of a sudden, all of our projections onto the role of Pope, you know, sort of an envy toward the Pope. Wow, he's got power, he's got status. All of those superficial understandings of church office there must be some benefit to being such a high church official. All of that becomes relativized, and we are immediately thrown back into the truth that John Paul himself knew, that the foundation of everything is baptism. And without this reception of the Holy Spirit and being born again in water and the Spirit, there is no life in us. We are aiming toward death without baptism. Now, there are lots of people who, the minute you say that, they'll say, well, that seems cruel, because what about all the people who never were baptized? And God seems unfair. And of course, the church in its doctrine has understood this great question of those who are not baptized through no fault of their own, and has come up with a very understandable, reasonable answer to this, and that is, if it's no fault of their own, and they are open and striving to understand what the meaning of life is and pursuing truth in their conscience, then we can hope that there's salvation for them. And it's very clear. Can we guarantee it? No. Can't guarantee salvation outside of cooperation with grace, which comes through baptism. But we certainly can hope for it, because we understand God to be a just and merciful God. So for our own faith, for Catholicism, we have to meditate more deeply on the teachings which point us to the truth that baptism is a necessary sacrament for salvation.
We first encounter the importance of baptism in the gospel accounts of Jesus' encounter with John and his own bowing to that moment in the Jordan and receiving baptism through John the Baptist.
There's a great truth that's being revealed here in Jesus' own baptism. And as you said, you know, John the Baptist, he hesitates a little bit. He doesn't want Jesus to come and submit to this humility, this humiliation maybe, because John knew who Jesus was. But the baptism works a little bit in the way that the coming of the three kings comes at his birth. That this is his identity, Jesus' identity, is being made more and more plain to the church, that he is meant for everybody, the coming of the three kings. And now, in the baptism scene, his origin is again revealed and made plain, that he has come from the Father. And we know that in Matthew, we hear those beautiful words from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And so it's another epiphany, it's another manifestation, it's another way that Revelation is making clear that this Jesus who is submitting to baptism is doing this at the service of salvation for others. Obviously, he doesn't need salvation, but he's doing it at the service of salvation for others. This is who I am. I am the beloved Son. So Jesus' baptism is where his identity is defined. And analogously, it's where our identities are defined too. If we truly appropriate what happens at baptism, we become sons and daughters of God the Father through Jesus and in the Spirit. We are becoming who God tells us we are. We are the beloved Son. We are the beloved daughter of God.
Pope Benedict reflects on this in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. In essence, he says that we are all called to the Jordan. We all have this yearning to be able to have this union that comes forth from that moment when we are brought into the body, into baptism. It is something our hearts yearn for, but in many ways we're not able to articulate.
Well, we want the water. We definitely want the water. We want the purity of the water. And of course, this sign speaks so deeply to the human character, to human nature, that we always are attracted to water as something living and moving, refreshing and purifying. And so how beautiful it is that God uses the very elements of nature to symbolize our own interior yearning for union with him through purity, through purification, and through refreshment. Because without baptism, without sacramentally being assimilated into the mystery of Jesus, we are parched. We are weary. We are thirsting. And of course, this is the great sad history of humankind, continually looking and searching for a place to rest, the meaning of life. Is it money? Is it fame? Is it sexual activity? Is it something to do with one's reputation? Where does a human being rest regarding the meaning of life? And Jesus is here pointing to where that rest is. It's in the flowing water which carries his Spirit. And we are assimilated into his great mystery, his death, his life, his resurrection. Water becomes what we thirst after, not just simply for our physical thirst, but for the thirst of the soul, which of course is the deeper meaning of Jesus and the woman at the well, where Jesus is seen to really reveal himself even further, another epiphany, another manifestation. You know, if you only knew who was asking for this water. Water itself was asking for water. Life itself was asking for life. The one you have been looking for by coming to this well over and over again, your bridegroom, your spouse, is here now. You've been looking for one to marry because I know you have so many husbands, Jesus said to the woman. Well, your real spouse is here now. And all your desires will be satiated in this spousal relationship with me. So let's drink this water together. And so it speaks, the very mystery of water, the very mystery of baptism, speaks to the very depths of human yearning for fulfillment, rest, peace, healing, which of course, salvation.
From the earliest times, the church to which the mission of preaching the gospel and baptizing was entrusted has baptized not only adults who are seeking that, but also children. Parents yearn to have their child receive the indescribable. Sometimes they cannot articulate it in the deeper fashion.
Yes, and the mystery of the faith coming through the parents. And sure, the parents do want their children saved. They want their children to receive this divine love. And the children receive it objectively in the sacrament. And then for the rest of their lives, they're subjectively appropriating what they have received. And the parents are creating the environment that facilitates the children's conscious and full reception of the love that has come to them in baptism. And this is why it's so important in the rite of baptism to underscore the role of the parents creating the home to be a little church. Make sure that the home is the domestic church, because we're not dealing here with magic. We're dealing with a sacrament, which means that we're dealing with a relationship that marks at the very deepest levels of the person their authentic and enduring identity. And so, if we do not create an environment where the sacrament can take root, then the child's identity is continually tested against the spirit of the age. And this is where a lot of upsetment comes from the children. Who am I? Where am I going? What's the meaning of life? Anxiety, fears, doubts. If the parents are united in faith, if the parents are passing on the truths of the faith, the prayers of the faith, and by prayers here we simply mean the parents are telling and showing by example their children how to let God reach them. That's all that prayer is. It's a way of being available so that God can reach you. Not that God has any need to reach us in terms of his own learning. It is of the necessity of God to always want to reach us. We need the learning as to how to be open to receive a God who always is coming, who always is coming toward us. And the parents need to create an environment that facilitates or makes the children vulnerable to God's coming. So on the baptism day, the parents yearn to have their child saved, to have their children receive the love of God. But it is not just God acting. It's God desiring the cooperation in love of the parents to minister the ways of salvation to their own children.
We'll return in just a moment to Baptism, Born from Above, with Deacon James Keating. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Baptism, Born from Above, with Deacon James Keating. It's important that you use the word minister to the children, because the church chooses that language as well in the rubrics. Because of their natural relationships, parents have a ministry and a responsibility in baptism of infants more important than those of the godparents. It is that the essential role of fatherhood and motherhood, that ministry, it really defines it as such, doesn't it?
It's a service to the mysteries. It's a service to the mysteries of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And just I'll just point out briefly here the establishment of the Father as so crucial in the passing on of the faith to the children. Spiritually, it is so important, I think, for the father to begin to meditate and become more conscious of the dignity of his being, not just a role, not just a responsibility, not just duty, but the father to meditate on the dignity of his being. It's about who he is. And flowing from his identity as father will be wonderful graces and gifts that are given to the children and to the family as a whole. The greatest gift that flows from a father's being, and here by a father's being I mean a man who at his very roots, at the root of his conscience, he's receiving intimacy with God. That's what I mean by the father's being. At the very root of his conscience, his inner heart, the man is receiving intimacy with God. The fruit of that intimacy is a mission. And the mission for the father is to protect the mystery. This becomes his crucial way of being in the home. He is the one who protects the mystery. The mystery of what? The mystery of God's love for that family. The mystery of God's coming to that family in many, many ways. The father should have a discerning heart and mind to be able to point out to the children, see where God is coming, see how God is coming to us, see how God's providence has taken care of us, where we have the means and the funds to eat, where your mother and I possibly have a job, we have a career, we have native talents that have been given to us. See how God is loving us through all of these gifts, and to protect this mystery of God's care for the family in the consciousness of the children, to make the children aware so that they are raised unto gratitude. This character trait of gratitude is a hallmark of good fathering, because over the years, as the father himself is more and more aware that his whole life has been more gift than achievement, he can pass this consciousness onto his children, that Jesus, the Father's love in flesh, has come to us as a family, as a small church, and Jesus has loved us. And as dad, I want to protect your understanding of this love. And so it falls rightfully to the conscious dad to urgently desire a family that prays. And it is just as in the inverse is true too, that those poor dads who have yet to have an awakened heart see the absolute secularization of the home if they do not stir this desire that is laying dormant in their hearts to make sure that prayer is defining the home. Sociological studies, psychological studies have showed that when the dad is passive about protecting the mystery of faith and it's left totally to the mom, that it's more likely that the children will wander from the church and the faith. It's a great mystery. We can call it anything we want, or we can look at it from a political perspective or an economic or a gender perspective. But truly, this is some type of mystery from God, that the father who follows his deepest desire to be the leader of prayer somehow awakens in both the girls and the boys of the family that life is more gift than achievement, that life is more about the spirit than about what capitalism and the United States tells us life is about. So the father's role here is pivotal. And as a mother and a father move to baptism, the baptism of their children, it would be very advantageous for dads to sit for a while with the Word of God or sit before the Blessed Sacrament and to simply converse with God about this awesome identity that is in his being, that he carries within his very being power and the gift to evangelize at the very depths of their hearts his own children. We hope more and more that dads will take up this challenge and become more and more articulate about the ways of interior living, the ways of the Spirit, and the ways of prayer.
It truly is a ministry to their children, isn't it?
They are the first ministers, the mother, the father. They are the ones that mediate, hopefully, what they have experienced personally of what all too often can be simply an objective thing called religion. They want to mediate personally what they have known in the very depths of their own hearts. God is real. God is love. God keeps coming to us. And they want to share that with their children. And if the parents just leave it to the parish, and notice such an impersonal structure, to leave it to the parish to evangelize, it will probably bear little fruit. It has to be the parents who are carrying the mystery of salvation in them as a real thing. And the mystery of salvation is something real that's happening at home, which is augmented by the priest, by the DRE, by whatever education processes are at the parish. But certainly to abandon this ministry, the parental ministry, to the parish alone would be a negligence of the very beauty of what it means to be Catholic parents and the power of what it means to be Catholic parents.
There truly is a responsibility for that recognition that they are ready to take on that ministry for that precious gift of life by the pastor or the assistant pastor or the deacon, whoever is entering into that baptism moment, to make sure the parents are fully prepared to take on that role.
Yes, and this is, as all things in our church, done better in some places and not so well in others. Again, because of the objective nature of the sacraments, that God is loving and God is saving, a lot of times the emphasis is just placed on the objectiveness of the sacrament. And the subjective response to the sacrament sometimes lays dormant in the imagination of some parochial ministers. And so we have to get to a point where we want to enliven more and more the subjective side of the sacrament so that it's received not just as an objective act, but truly as something meaningful at the level of one's freedom and knowledge. And so parents should be eager to go to whatever faith development process a parish sets up before baptism, whether it's visits to the home by the pastor, or whether it's classes that are being established to help the parents understand the spirituality of baptism. No matter what process or program is set up, we would hope that there'd be an eagerness on the part of the parents, because in these processes is a deepening of the parents' own baptismal reality. It's similar to attending a wedding. And as you're sitting there watching a new bride and a new groom get married, it's natural for married people to go back in their memory to their own wedding day and to some extent, even relive the vows. And this is true with baptism as well, or it should at least be pointed out that in the baptismal preparation process and when we're in the rite itself, this is a great time to enter into the role, the creative role of memory, to go back. And of course, most of us were babies, so we have no conscious memory, but to use the image that's before us, the baby having water poured on his or her head, and to go back in our imagination and to receive again our own baptism. Remember, baptism is always being offered. It's not established in time. Once baptism has been celebrated, one can always go back in the imagination and receive a deeper and deeper grace, a deeper and deeper share of one's own share in the life of God. We just have to keep asking for God to release that in us. It's not as if once for all it's done. It's once for all we have entered the mystery of baptism. Now that we're in the mystery of baptism, we can all keep going back in our memory and asking for the grace to appropriate it at deeper and deeper levels so that our relationship with salvation becomes more and more real. So we would hope and we would encourage that every parent, and of course this is ideal, and there's a sadness and a grief in the church when this ideal is not met, but we would hope that every parent would be eager to learn through catechesis, what is this great mystery of baptism?
We've come to the conclusion of this particular introduction to our series on baptism. Final thoughts, Deacon Keating?
Just that perhaps we can, during the course of this week or some other time, to go to the church, go to our parish church, and to find the baptismal font. And if there is no baptismal font, perhaps to find some symbols in the church regarding baptism, and to just pause before them, and to think about our own baptism and how much our baptism has been a gracious gift from God, not merited by us at all, but simply this graciousness of God coming forth to find his children, to name his children as his own, and to eventually take his children into a share of Trinitarian love for all eternity. That great journey began at the font in your own parish.
Can we close with a blessing, Deacon Keating, on this particular segment?
For all those listening, we pray that we truly begin to understand and to really live in the power of what happened to us at baptism, the pouring of water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit unto our own purification, healing, and salvation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Keating.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Baptism, Born from Above with Deacon James Keating. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. Or you can find it on the Discerning Hearts free app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Baptism, Born from Above, with Deacon James Keating.